Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in.
We are still here.
Oh, Mike.
For some reason.
Thursday, January 5th, 2023, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Welcome in. Al Borland, Judge Giamatti, the Borgogan himself, Deucer's Alley. Completely full today.
Of Deuce.
Ers.
Keep but on deucing.
The group is here. We're together. And we've got an episode of our podcast for you.
That is correct.
And today,
it will be great.
Today we will. Yeah, it will. I mean, obviously. But it is week 18. So we will be covering those games towards the back half of the show. Got some starts of the week for you. We've got Never Not Working on the show today. We've got news, some good news updates to share with you. And yeah, this is the final Never Not Working segment of the year. Couple things at the top. If you are in need of a trophy, ring, belt, anything for your fantasy league.
Oh, I am. Tell me more.
Fantasychamps.com.
Mm-hmm. Going.
The code is Jason Sucks.
Nice try. Not falling for that again.
The code is free ring.
Fool me once.
The code is actually free ring, and you will receive a free $59 championship ring with the purchase of a trophy or belt if you use that code. Fantasychamps.com for your league swag. Okay. So you just put the trophy or belt in your cart, put a $59 ring in the cart, put the code in, free ring. And the rest is history. And we do have a Foot Clan title t-shirt. We do it every year. If you want to celebrate your championship, go to shopballers.com. You can grab the 2022 Foot Clan title t-shirt. Or I guess we, not just t-shirt. We have a mug. We got a hoodie for the hoodie people. The hoodie world is
love
a world.
A good hoodie.
I like the hoodie.
Oh, man.
I like the hoodie world when it's on. Like I would, if I could,
right.
I don't like the like pullover hoodie. I like a zip-up hoodie. I just feel like it's a complicated world.
You want the versatility.
World. Yeah, I just don't want to go over, like, pull it over my head.
I get
on
it.
On and off.
It messes,
feels like,
messes the hair up.
And when you take it off, maybe you accidentally pick up your shirt and you just show your belly off.
That's true. Or a booty there. Crack.
Oh, a booty crack?
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Because of a hoodie?
Well, maybe your booty
crack. If it pulls your shirt up,
okay,
then you have potential that you're showing off
Mike,
the
Mike
top
is
of the
still, he sags quite a bit.
I was going to say, I got badonkadonk, but I'm usually full covered on the.
You put on the old pants.
Yeah, I'm usually wearing pants. Call me crazy.
It's called plumber's crack, guys. It happens when the shirt comes up and the pants go down just a little bit.
Okay.
You get a little sneak peek.
Yeah, I do.
Check this out.
Check this out. Well, good. The show's off to a great start. Mike is going to share our final Never Not Working segment with us.
Never Not Working. Presented by Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology. Available at Walmart.
All right, we jumped into a quite the dynasty conversation yesterday.
That's
because
fun.
Tis the season where you start thinking about those things. And as your leagues are wrapping up, or, you know, free agency has just reopened for some for your dynasty leagues, you got to pay attention to contracts. You got to pay attention to who is a free agent, because here is where you find yourself some cheap players that you can stash on your bench and just see what happens. And, like, wild things happen on when you're doing this. I remember a few years ago, I brought up the name Rex Burkhead, who was coming off of, I think it was his Week 18 performance, and it was a huge game. And it was like, really? We're going to talk about this backup like guy who's done really nothing for the Cincinnati Bengals. And it was like, yeah, just have a look just in case. And boom, picked up by the Patriots. Now Mike Gillisley factored in, but Rex Burkhead had very useful games for the New England Patriots. And he was just sitting on waiver wires, a guy that you could pick up. And so we just want to highlight some contracts here that you pay attention to. You know, like we have some quarterbacks could be – this could be a huge influx season for these quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson, still not extended by the Baltimore Ravens. You'd expect that he would be back.
He'll be franchised. He's not really a free agent.
That is 100%
yes,
true.
Yes, he will be franchised. Yeah. But, I mean, the more that this goes of the Baltimore Ravens aren't going to give – if they don't give him the contract that he wants, I mean – just say, like, some weird stuff could shake out for Baltimore with him. Where does Tom Brady go? Does he end up, like the rumors are talking about, that he ends up with the Las Vegas Raiders?
San Francisco.
You know, Daniel Jones and Geno Smith. Some of these guys, it's an interesting situation to pay attention to. But to me, the meat and the potatoes of this section is the running backs. Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard. And to me, when I think about these names, it's not more so, what do I do with these guys? So what do I do with the players who are currently sitting behind these big-time running backs? Like David Montgomery for the Chicago Bears. He's in a contract year. Do the Chicago Bears bring him back? They have Khalil Herbert, who's looking like he can be the guy, the 1-2 down grinder. He's got a 3-down skill set. But who's behind him? You have Ebner, the rookie. He didn't get a lot of play this year, but he's under contract, and he could become their de facto primary backup. Take a look at the situation in Jacksonville, a move I made recently. You have Travis Etienne. He's locked in. He's the guy. Who's the backup?
Who's Hasty.
Hasty's not under contract next year. But you know who is? Snoop Connor. And I just grabbed Snoop Connor off of the waiver
there
wire.
There it is.
Nice. Very, very nice. Because who knows? Are they going to bring back Hasty? Or, like, there was a lot of buzz in the Dynasty community about Snoop Connor coming into the draft season. Well, we all kind of moved on because he got buried on a depth chart, but he may be on the rise. Look at players like Alexander Mattison. He may be earning himself I don't know, you know, how you feel about Mattison, but he is a capable running back, and he has a chance to go out there and find himself a contract, which means Minnesota, they will need themselves another backup running back. And I'm trying to pull up his name.
Mattison seems like the player that could go, and the role for him might be the way Mostert and Jeff Wilson complemented as lead runners in Miami. Mattison might be able to go someplace, and as opposed to being a full backup, he could be a complimentary 1-2 punch with somebody.
But there was a name throw out, a friend of the show, Paul Charchian, who's he's a locked-in fantasy guy, but he's a Minnesota guy. And he threw out a tweet a couple days ago that said, you should throw Ty Chandler on the back of your dynasty bench just in case. Just in case. So there are names out there to monitor. So we don't want to run through all of them, but it's getting you in the habit of the process of, you know, starting about the middle of the year, especially now. Go to some of these websites that track the contracts. Find who the free agents are and start stashing their backup running back. Start finding some of these wide receivers who may be worth an addition. DeAndre Hopkins of the Arizona Cardinals. We got a tweet yesterday from Johnny Venerable, who's a plugged-in Arizona guy, who said it's possible that Christmas Day was the last game as an Arizona Cardinal for DeAndre Hopkins. Like
Hollywood Brown, Rondale Moore.
The Dorch.
Like, yeah. The Dorch, I don't know what his roster percentage is in a dynasty league, but like he was on and off of the waiver wire throughout a lot of dynasty leagues, and he might be back on there. It's a
trade target because you look at the situation and you say, who can I pick up on the cheap this year? Pay attention to teams that have a lot of cap space to spend. Sometimes that's worth noting specifically for whether a value on that team could get replaced or get upgraded against. Like the Falcons, you know, the number one team is the Bears. The Falcons, Giants, Patriots have the most to spend beyond that. But you know, if you're looking at the Giants, right, and you're looking at Isaiah Hodgins, and they have all this money to spend, and they have a need at wide receiver, he is not the player that you look at and say, oh, I'm going to go try to get as many shares of him because maybe he's up and coming. No, the more likely thing is that he is a player that will be supplanted by a more high-profile talent on that roster. So if you can move him in a deal. That's kind of the type of salary-based decisions you might make.
Yeah, and I would add that you can also trade away some of these guys that are about to be free agents before people realize they're free agents. Yeah. Because
what's
they
in
might,
the box?
They might not, you know, Miles Sanders, Devin Singletary. These are two players that, you know, they're on good teams going through a playoff run. They could do some really nice things in the playoffs, look great. Like, oh, man, Singletary's, you know, on fire, and then the offseason comes and you trade him. And maybe they don't re-sign him. Devin Singletary's not the type of player that's going to go get a you know, a giant workload job some no. other team. And they're going to draft Bijan, you know, anyway. So it's like...
Actually, I heard Eagles this morning.
Hey, that's great. Just bye-bye Miles Sanders, bring Bijan into the Eagles. Oh, man, I would love this. Good offensive line.
And then also paying attention of certain offenses, how do they function? Do they rely on the tight end position? Like the Dallas Cowboys, the reason why I had my infatuation with Blake Jarwin back in the day was they use the tight end position a lot, and they're going to have an opening here. And he seems like he's the next guy up. Now, he got hurt. Dalton Schultz came in and took his milk money. But the process was correct of whoever the next tight end is for the Dallas Cowboys, I'm interested. And the way that the season started for Dalton Schultz, the contract negotiations stalled. He's on the franchise tag right now, Kyle. Is that correct?
Correct.
So take a look. Take a look at who – maybe he doesn't re-sign. And I brought this up, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, but Jake Ferguson, Peyton Hendershot, those would be the next two guys in line. They could be replaced in the draft, but right now you're trying to get some scratchers and see if any of these guys could pay off, move themselves into a bigger time role on the team next year.
Is the quarterback that put up 38 fantasy points against the 49ers last week one of those players?
You're talking Stidham?
Yeah.
I mean, he should be on a bench just in case he ends up being the starter, because the wink wink reason that he's playing is because the Raiders want to evaluate the talent. They want to see what they have at the position. Crazier things have happened.
Doesn't he seem just one more good game and he could be the starter for the Washington football team next year?
Yes, absolutely. If he goes out and he puts up numbers, he may end up as a stopgap starter somewhere. Like it is legitimately true.
All right, get up to 100% dandruff protection that is never not working with Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield technology, available at walmart.com. Use it every time you shampoo and see the difference.
News and notes from around the league.
Yeah, I picked up Jarrett Stidham in Dynasty. That was why I asked the question. But I have a team with no backup quarterback, so I was like, I mean, it was a drop of Trace McSorley to pick up Jarrett Stidham.
I mean, everyone's Dynasty bench out there, because you have 30-whatever players. You have 5 to 7 spots at least that can just churn at any moment, and you should be very, very proactive right now.
You know what is so funny about Dynasty benches? Because you're right. You have 3, 4, 5 players that you can cut, and I, you know, when I look at my Dynasty rosters, I always see them like, oh, you know, these guys are worthless. And then when the moment comes to actually do the drop, man, I'm like, oh, I can see the path.
Sure.
Like every single time, I can't ever drop anybody.
Raheem Mostert was one of those guys last year that you could not have traded him to
Dynasty
anybody.
Dynasty value was gone.
It was zero. Like I probably had moments where I thought about cutting him for somebody else, kept him on my bench, and was like a crucial part of my team all year. You know, stranger things happen really, really quickly. All right, news and notes. This is a big one. Just broke this morning. I'm going to read to you from the official Buffalo Bills Twitter handle. Update on DeMar Hamlin. Per the physicians caring for DeMar Hamlin at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, DeMar has shown remarkable improvement over the past 24 hours. While still critically ill, he has demonstrated that he appears to be neurologically intact. His lungs continue to heal and he is making steady progress. We are grateful for the love and support we have received. And Ian Rappaport expanded and said he opened his eyes last night, is responsive, and, you know, their family is endlessly appreciative of the medical care given to Hamlin on the field immediately and over the last 72 hours.
Yeah. It's great news.
It is the news that we have just been wanting and hoping, and, you know, if we hope it continues trending in that direction. That is such good news to hear that he's neurologically intact, because that's, you know, the biggest, I think the number one fear going forward. And now that's just so nice to have positive direction that this is heading.
The Commanders will start rookie quarterback Sam Howell on Sunday against Dallas, fifth-round rookie out of UNC.
How do you feel,
UNC?
Jason?
Oh, baby. Look, I always have my third-string backup worthless quarterback that I love. Now it's Sam Howell. He is very mobile, can run the ball, will be good for fantasy, and is clearly going to be the next great Kyle Trask. so watch out, world.
The Bears will start Nathan Peterman. Justin Fields' season comes to an end. He's out with a hip injury, 64 yards shy of Lamar Jackson's single-season quarterback rushing record, which, again...
He'll get it next year.
Yeah, he'll get it next year with an extra game.
No, well, think about the way that the season started. Justin Fields wasn't running.
That's fair.
I mean,
but also not fair.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll see if his body can hold up.
I will say that, yeah, he has been beaten up.
Yes.
And eventually they're like, okay, we're going to stop this.
Yeah, I mean, part of it's going to be whether or not they're a good team, whether they're winning games. Because I don't believe that this is a situation where he couldn't necessarily play through some of these injuries. There's no reason to put Justin Fields out and worry about his health for the future when he showed you, like, he is their future.
Yes.
Speaking of Kyle Trask, Jason, Todd Bowles did say he has a good chance of dressing for Week 18.
Oh, man. This is going to be great.
Also, I mean, if Tom Brady leaves,
it won't be Kyle
Trask. They will be replacing him with some other.
I was trying to give you some hope.
Yeah, thank you.
Nathan
Peterman
will come in there and.
Oh, gosh.
All right. David Blau is going to start for the Cardinals.
Blah, blah, blah. Oh.
DeAndre Hopkins has been ruled out.
Oh, no.
Christian McCaffrey didn't practice on Wednesday, is dealing with a little bit of a sprained ankle. Game is important to the 49ers, but that doesn't mean – like I thought about
– Doesn't mean they can't beat the Cardinals without him?
Well, it's just the Jordan Mason question. Mm-hmm. Like when you look at Jordan Mason this week, it wasn't to the degree that I was willing to put him in as a start of the week.
Sure.
But it was certainly one of those things where in DFS, if you're dealing with a team that has like a bunch of players that are not going to play, like Jordan Mason could be a flex-worthy guy this week.
He's a must-start top 10 type of option.
They designated the missile again.
Oh, is Elijah? Well,
Elijah Mitchell was designated to return. That doesn't mean that he will play on Sunday, but
we'll have clarity by Sunday. Yeah. Both Elijah Mitchell, Jordan Mason need to be picked up for Week 18 rosters, put on your bench, and then should Christian McCaffrey be ruled out, we'll know who's active for that game.
Yeah.
Whoever is active
absolutely
will be awesome. And if it is Elijah Mitchell is active and Jordan Mason is active, I'm going to be right back in Elijah Mitchell. We've seen it time and time again because he's gotten injured so many times. When Elijah Mitchell comes back, they're just like, okay.
He's very good.
You're cleared for takeoff missile, and we'll give you the ball 25 times.
No practice for Lamar Jackson.
Man.
And then we did have some schedule adjustments from yesterday's show. The Bengals-Ravens game will now be played at 1 p.m. Eastern. If the Bengals beat the Ravens at 1 Eastern, the Chargers will automatically clinch the 5 seed without playing. The Chargers, I think, at that point would sit down a bunch of their options. If they clinch the 5 seed, they know they're going on the road to play Tennessee or Jacksonville. You've already seen the line move in that game. So Denver's now favored.
Go Denver.
Yeah. So that's like almost a 6-point move, I think, because it was 3.5. Denver plus 3.5. Now it's Denver minus 2.5.
Come on, everybody. Let's root for Denver.
And against the Cardinals. Well, you don't have to root against the Cardinals.
I'm just rooting for Denver, man.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's purely, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
If Denver's pick goes to Seattle, and so Denver has no, like, motivation to lose the game and get their pick to be.
Except for spite.
No, they have motivation to win the game.
Yeah, that's
for
what
spite.
I mean.
But I'm saying no motivation to lose the game, so it's good.
Right.
It's good for the Cardinals.
Right. As Cardinals. And not only that, it's an in-division pick. We need that number 3 pick. We have very little to live for as Cardinal fans.
It's always fun to see the transition of goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For fans.
Yeah, from playoffs to full teardown.
Yeah. To the nubs, Cardinals. Last final big announcement. Now that the fantasy season is, you know, over, week 17 is in the books, and there's the question with the Cincinnati Bengals-Buffalo Bills game, people want an update for the Megalobowl. The Megalo Bowl, here is what we are doing in this massive league. League is the word.
I heard that something.
We are waiting for official announcement on what they are doing with that game. If that game resumes, those points from that game will go to the final scores, and we do not know who wins yet. Should that game get canceled, then we have our winner. The team name is Lamb and Goat, and the user is Reverby. I'm going to say it that way.
Okay.
Because I nailed it. With 203 fantasy points, had the Brady Evans stack.
Oh, yes.
And that would be a spot in next year's Listener League.
That it was.
As the winner of the Megalo Bowl. So,
a temporary congratulations.
Yeah, it does seem to me like the trend is towards not playing the game, not resuming that game. You know, it's too complicated to say what's fair, what's not fair. I mean, it's like there's just a lot involved, and you have a process. You have winning percentages. You have tiebreakers. You have those things to be determined. And this weekend will take place, and we'll see where we're at. Things changing every day, of course, and we're not going anywhere. All right, we are into the fantasy forecast for Week 18.
Fantasy forecast.
All right, gentlemen. It's time to blitz these Week 18 games. On Saturday, the Chiefs are 13-3. They're taking on the 6-10 Raiders. The DK Sportsbook line, Kansas City minus 9.5. The over-under is 52.5. Kansas City needs to win to lock up the number one seed. They're motivated. They're playing the Raiders. So you could have a situation where if the game got out of hand, you know, they could put their guys on the old bench. But right now, not the expectation.
No, it's not the expectation. The Raiders are very motivated as well, not because of playoff seeding, but this is a divisional matchup where they've got, you know, the new quarterback, Jarrett Stidham, coming in to attempt to have a job, have a career, have a future. You have a head coach that really needs some positivity and a win. Playing spoiler here to the Kansas City Chiefs, getting the number one overall seed would be massively important within that division. So I like the options in this game quite a bit for fantasy. There's nobody I am afraid to start of the big names you're used to starting. The real question mark to me comes just like, are you playing with a wide receiver? Are you playing with a wide receiver for Kansas City?
Like Juju?
They're only going to throw for about 700 yards. Can you play a wide receiver in fantasy?
I don't have any confidence to do so.
That's insane because it's 100% where I'm at. Like, how do you confidently throw Juju in? We had the like mini breakout of Kadarius Toney this last week. You can't throw Kadarius Toney in. Marquez Valdes-Scantling should have had a monster game. Didn't. Won't. So it's like... You just check out.
Not sure how much work Josh Jacobs will get in this game. He is a high-risk play, very high risk. Darren Waller, on the other hand, I think he will get his opportunities coming back. One final game, had a rapport with Jarrett Stidham. Davante Adams, I imagine you're going to start him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jacobs is the only one. He didn't practice on Wednesday, and I saw some quotes around, you know, what was it? It was something to the extent of, you know, you're never going to be surprised if when Josh Jacobs can get out there and, you know, go to work.
So Josh Jacobs, I mean, just for personal motivation stuff, he's sitting at 1,608 rushing yards in first. Second would be Nicholas Chubb at 1,448. Derrick Henry is at 1,429. So unless Derrick Henry has one of his 200-yard games, Jacobs seems pretty safe for the rushing title.
Titans are 7-9. They take on the 8-8 Jacksonville Jaguars. This is a pretty exciting game.
This is the good one.
DK Sportsbook line, Jacksonville minus 6. Over-under is 40. All players on both sides that are active in this game are going to be great options for fantasy if you were relying on them previously. So Trevor Lawrence, Derrick Henry, Travis Etienne, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, Evan Ingram, and then you can... Look, you can glance at Traylon Burks this week with the amount of missing players out there, and you can take a little, you know, a little bit of side eye towards Chig Okonkwo.
Sure, you do need to keep an eye on Traylon Burks just to make sure that his status is okay. He wasn't on the injury report yesterday, but then there's just some kind of incomplete information of maybe he tweaked his groin during the pants during the practice.
You looked like you were so obligated to do, like it was involuntary.
It's like breathing.
Trying to make a normal sentence out of it.
So just pay attention to his practice status.
The one thing I would say, Travis Etienne to me is, look, he's great. He's going to get the work. His opportunity is there.
You have to play
him. I don't think you have to play him.
I think you have to.
I think he's questionable. I mean, we saw him against Tennessee is, you know, obviously they're playing for the life here, but they're coming off a bye week, essentially. They rested all their important players last week on both sides of the ball. Last time Travis Etienne played the Tennessee Titans, he had 17 carries, scored 3 fantasy points. I'm not saying you must bench Travis Etienne. I'm saying if you pick up Elijah Mitchell off waivers and you're sitting there and he's active and Christian McCaffrey is out and you can make that switch at the end of the week, I would rather play him because I do have some fears. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to throw the ball all over against the Tennessee Titans and their running game.
I think that's a pretty hot take.
It is.
Week 18 spikes.
Travis Etienne, running back 5.5 last week. Really good performance against the Jets' run defense. He's in there for me.
Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there. If there is,
you would start it off the injured reserve Elijah Mitchell.
If he is active and Christian McCaffrey is out, absolutely.
What if he's not active, but it's Jordan Mason?
It's not going to just be him. I mean, like Jordan Mason would be involved too.
If he is not active and Christian McCaffrey is not active, I would start Jordan Mason as well.
All right.
Wow. All right. Let's take a quick break, get back into the Sunday games. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, 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 and social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/footballers. Tampa Bay 8-8 taking on the 6-10 Atlanta Falcons. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Atlanta -4, over under is 40.5. That tells you all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do your best to sit down your Buccaneers. They have nothing to play for. Todd Bowles is a liar. So, you know, maybe it's a quarter. Maybe it's a nothing. I mean, there's a chance you go out there and Tom Brady is not active.
There is a chance that they play the whole game and they have great fantasy output. It's not a risk worth taking to me at all. I agree with you. These guys, I'm looking for other options if I can, because the Vegas line is usually the right line to, you know, go after. Chase that information, not coach speak.
On the other side of the ball, though, if they do sit some players down, they're going to sit some defensive players down as well. Tyler Allgeier will get every opportunity in this game.
Yeah, he's in.
He's a great play. Last 3 games, a top 12 running back. Desmond Ridder is not an option. Drake London, you could give him a go.
In full PPR, yeah, I mean, it was since Desmond Ridder came in, even though Desmond Ritter's not very good and not throwing a ton of yards, he
can't throw yards, bro.
Accumulating a bunch of yards. The targets have just been all going to Drake London at the wide receiver position.
He's a really good player.
11 targets, 9 targets, 8 targets, 12 targets his last 4 games. So Drake London in a full PPR, I think, is in.
New England's 8-8, and they take on the 12-3 Buffalo Bills. The DK Sportsbook line, Buffalo -7. The over-under is 42.5. Buffalo will already know the result of the Kansas City game. So there's a situation here where they are, you know, not at much of a risk. Now, they could still drop to the 3 seed. What is that playoff scenario, Kyle?
It's dependent on the Bengals, and if they reschedule the game, then they technically could.
New England can clinch the wild card in this game with a win against Buffalo, so they will be highly motivated. They're playing for their playoff lives. Buffalo beat them 24-10 in Week 13. What is your approach to this game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm as of now, I think you can only take the approach of looking at this as a normal matchup. This is, I think both teams are going to be motivated enough given their situation and their circumstances where you just say they're going at it. And I'm not valuing the risk high enough for the reward in this specific type of a matchup when you've got this good of fantasy options from the Bills side of the ball.
Ramondre Stevenson, even with motivation in the last 2 weeks, has been really brutal for your fantasy
rosters. Are you motivated to play Ramondre?
I feel like you're probably stuck, but this is not a good matchup. He's been bad. He now has Damian Harris back. So Ramondre, to me, is RB2, RB3 territory.
Agreed.
You know, Jacoby Myers, if he's active, is the only wide receiver I'd play for New England. Is that fair?
Yeah, that is fair. I was going to say, like, Tyquan Thornton did get 7 targets.
If Myers is out, would you look at Thornton?
I'd be okay with it.
Intrigued?
Yeah. Seven, like I said, the 7 targets, 3 for 16.
Did you play him over ETN?
No. Get out of here.
I'll just play him.
Jason would.
I would not.
James Cook,
Jason's
Devin Singletary.
Like, how do I get Keyshawn Vaughn?
Well, you didn't say Keyshawn Vaughn. You said Tyquan Thornton.
I know, but I'm just trying to think of all the nasty boys I can. Yeah.
All right. Are we moving on? What are your choices here? Gabe Davis?
Yeah, Gabe Davis is a swing for the fences type of player that you can always put in your lineup, have a 2-touchdown game. And I think Dawson Knox is fine as well. The Patriots haven't been shutting down tight ends this year, and he has been on a roll. So I'd be fine starting him as a low-end tight end one.
Minnesota's 12-4. They take on the 3-13 Chicago Bears. The DK Sportsbook line, Minnesota -7. The over-under is 43. The Bears will be starting Nathan Peterman. They've lost 9 in a row. The Bears, if they lose, and the Texans lose to the Colts, that can't be true. The Bears get the number one pick. That must have been Texans need to win.
No, if the Texans lose to the Colts, they will have 3 losses, and the win percentage would give the Bears the number one pick.
Because they have a tie?
Correct.
Interesting. Okay.
Wait a minute.
That is not true.
So
there's one. You're telling me 2-13-1 is better than 3-3.
Sorry,
and 14?
The Texans win. Sorry, the Texans win.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, what a dummy.
Yeah. All right. That doesn't make any sense.
He just meant there was a loss in the game that the Texans play in. But it was on the other side of the field.
There was a loss in that matchup.
Yeah.
All right. So the Bears have a shot to still get the number one pick if the Texans were to win against the Colts, which is not impossible. That matchup is two teams trying hard to lose.
Say that you have the what you do have.
I think the Texans might win that game.
The Houston Texans 2-13-1. The Colts 4-11-1. Both teams should, the players don't want to lose. They never want to lose, but. The management of the team certainly would be okay if their team lost this matchup. So that will be that's going to be an interesting watch.
Do you think some of these coaches that know they're on the way out, you know, maybe that's why Adam Gase went and won that last game was just to stick it to them and be like, I don't want them winning with Trevor Lawrence when I'm gone. I'm going to make sure they get Zach Wilson win this last game. Lovie Smith goes out there and just dominates.
There's no way that number two would have evaluated the quarterback talent in such a fashion, Jason.
That's fair.
Kirk Cousins, you know, Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, they got to win this game, but they could do it, you know, in a Jacksonville fashion from last week.
Yeah, but I'm playing everybody.
Yep, 100%. Dalvin Cook, who let a lot of people down last week and last year in that same week. This matchup is just so great for him. I have to have him in my lineup.
So play your Vikings. What about Cole Kmet without Justin Fields? If you got Nathan Peterman at quarterback, I think Montgomery and Herbert can be played if you're desperate, you know, for a running back start. But Cole Kmet, The target share has been there, but a new quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, on the plus side, you're going to have probably more opportunity for passing because Nathan Peterman's not going to be running for 100 yards in a quarter. But also, he's Nathan Peterman. He's not going to be throwing for touchdowns or a ton of passing yards. So I'm pretty much out on Cole Kmet.
Where are you on Alexander Mattison with the potential that you have? This game wrapped up pretty quickly last week. I mean, not a ton of work, but 40% of the snaps, that's his highest snap share since week five. Nine opportunities was his highest opportunity share since week five.
Yeah, what about him versus Herbert in the same game where you have the secondary option?
Right.
Like, Madison should have an opportunity to get extra work in this game, no question. I don't mind him as a flex play, personally.
Yeah, I think, as a flex, that's
obviously
right.
Way ahead of Etienne.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, you have to bench Etienne. That's what I was saying. Just no matter what, you got to, you know, punt him off the bridge.
So would you go Herbert or Madison, Jason?
In this game, I think I would go Herbert just because we've seen massive plays from him. And, you know, personally, I don't love starting either one of them.
I think I might go Madison. I think it's a very tough call between the two.
The rush defense of the Bears is garbage, garbage. So I guess touchdown opportunities probably more there for the Vikings side, the matchup better. So, yeah, I'll switch over and go Madison, but I'm not loving the play of either.
Ravens are 10-6. They take on the 11-4 Bengals. The DK Sportsbook line, Cincinnati at home, -7, over-under is 42. If Cincinnati wins, these two teams would likely face each other in the playoffs. Cincinnati is the 3 seed, Baltimore is the 6 seed. And if Cincinnati wins this game, the Chargers will likely bench players in the afternoon. Baltimore did win in week 5, but they had a quarterback named Lamar Jackson at the time. Cincinnati was also not the same team in week 5 of this season. You're starting all your Bengals, Jason?
Yeah, I am. I mean, Joe Mixon is in despite a difficult matchup just because of the opportunities. He had 25 in week 16. Joe Burrow is too good to ever bench right now. Jamar Chase, too good to ever bench ever. T. Higgins, too good to bench. So those guys are in. I'm not rolling with Boyd or P. Ryan or Hayden Hurst as ancillary options because the Baltimore Ravens defense is good. But the great guys, they have to be in.
You did see, I mean, we only got a little bit of the game, but Hayden Hurst was getting involved in the offense early for Cincinnati in his return, which was nice to see. This is a team that could move to the number 2 seed if Buffalo does lose to New England, which is not an impossibility this week, New England trying to make the playoffs. So there's some stuff on the line there for Cincinnati. Baltimore, you know, they're resting up for the playoffs, really. You got J.K. Dobbins' fast right leg.
Yeah, what do you do with super leg?
Sure. Sure, RB2, RB3.
I can agree with that. The one thing to watch would be Gus Edwards. The Gus bus got essentially no work. He got 3 carries this past week. And Harbaugh came out and one of the, you know, it's the classic, the coach of, I have no idea how the player on my team didn't play, but they should have played more. So he went to that line. So I think that Gus will be back eating into the split a little bit.
But it makes,
beep.
I love that.
I forgot about that drop.
The Gus bus. It does make sense though, you know, with, you know, he's more of a CEO type of, you know, he's above everything. The offense coordinator is going to run the show there and put those packages together. If he comes out and says that's absolutely unacceptable, you know, you will see more Gus bus in this game. The matchup is not great. So Dobbins is okay. He's an okay play, but, you know, you could see a dud because he's not catching passes. If he doesn't break off a long one or get a touchdown, it's easy for him to have a lower floor than what we are hoping.
If you stuck with Mark Andrews last week, you were rewarded 9 for 100 on 9 targets. You stay with him this week.
Yep.
But I think Isaiah likely could be involved as well. The running or the wide receiver room is just, I mean, you're down to DeSean Jackson, Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson.
Oof-da.
Depletion is the word. Houston's 213-1. They take on Indianapolis at 411-1. Kyle would have you believe that if they manage to lose this game, they can they can lose their number one pick. DraftKings Sportsbook line, Indianapolis -2.5, over-under 38. Watching this game would be one of the possible punishments you could give to your children if they were disobedient this week, if they did something wrong. You could have you could sit them down and make them watch this game in lieu of maybe doing some chores or any other type of punishment.
Or, you know, people ask, last place finisher in my league, maybe you're a week 17 league, say, well, what's the punishment? Well, you got to watch this game. Ironically, this game...
That's a pretty good punishment if you tell them they have to dress up as one of the teams and root for them.
Yeah.
You have to root for one of these teams to win.
Can't miss a snap. Cannot miss a snap. I do think this game will end up possibly being entertaining. It's not going to be the process throughout 3.5 quarters. Probably not there. But, you know, a 2.5-point line says it could be a competitive game. I think you've got the Colts maybe wanting to lose, and the Texans maybe wanting to win, because we do see that. It's so dumb, and they shouldn't. But if Lovie Smith goes out there and wants to leave his mark, it could end up being a close competitive game at the very least, even if for fantasy purposes, not great.
There's some juice in here.
One of the things that happens, you know, you think about Houston and their actual situation.
Sorry, Jason. Jason just saw my running back start of the week.
Gross.
Oh yeah. Oh,
vomit.
My
the
starts,
Rolling Stone.
My starts of the week are all quite
nasty. Look, Houston, the players, the individual players and the coaching staff wants to win this football game. You know, they're fighting for their jobs. You know, this is a team that's going to draft a quarterback, and it's going to be a refresh. So, Zach Moss is going to start at running back on the Colts side of the ball. There'll be some combination of Royce Freeman, Rex Burkhead, and Dare Ogunbowale on the Houston side. You know, Brandon Cooks is not going to be on this team, I don't think, after this game. Maybe. Maybe the rookie coming in would motivate Brandon Cooks to stay. But Brandon Cooks, Michael Pittman, a couple of disappointments this year.
Sure. Michael Pittman, over the last decade, is the lowest fantasy points of any player with 95-plus catches, which is just so sad.
Well, the offense is disgusting. The quarterback play has been
nasty.
Yeah, but
the quarterback
but I'm saying
play has
like,
been nasty, and Matt Ryan was so far and away the best quarterback, and he was terrible.
But I said, like, if you said,
don't
yes.
You remember, we built this city.
If I said, like, there was a lot. I was so hyped for Michael Pittman this year. A lot of people were excited for what he could do taking a step forward this year.
You're the mayor, not me.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is your city, bro.
Hey,
yeah,
you built it.
I still reside, as I still believe in the player. But if I said, hey, Jay.
Property values are down.
Look, there's a lot of problems in the city right now. We're trying to clean it up. But through week 17, I said, Jay.
Yeah.
Michael Pittman has 136 targets and 96 receptions.
Oh, baby. Yeah. Wide receiver one guaranteed.
We would be so thrilled with that amount of volume.
Minimum 6 touchdowns, probably over 1,000 yards already.
Yeah. But no.
No. It's not good. It's not good. Jelani Woods, big play last week. He certainly has a future. I'm not sure he has a present this week, but you could take a shot if you wanted to. And
yeah, well said. And to speak to Zach Moss, well, Mike will talk about him later disgustingly, but the opportunities are there. He's getting the ball a ton. The matchup is also there. I believe he has a floor that is, you know, like we started Hassan Haskins last week and we're thrilled to have 7.5 fantasy points.
Yeah.
If you're thrilled to have 7.5 fantasy points, I do think that's like a minimum.
He's the guy for you.
Yeah, Zach Moss is going to have 7.5 fantasy points. I don't know that he gets to 10.
I thought you were going to say, I don't know if he gets to 8.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it's either a 7.5 or you just slap a touchdown in there and so you're about 13.5.
No, that's
so
true.
7.5. Got it.
All right. All of the week 18 rankings starts at 2 on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com.
Starts of the week.
No finer time for starts of the week than week 18. And no better time for me to go to the Aaron Rodgers well.
Man, I love this because you have just absolutely besmirched him correctly.
Thank you.
All season long. So when I saw this in there, I was
it's perfect.
What? Andy's
it's
going
perfect.
Aaron Rodgers.
It's perfect. Week 18.
He was almost a QB1 with last week's juicy matchup. Almost.
Almost is as close as he's gotten. And it's perfect. Week 18 is the week for him to come out. and give you the week you wanted all year long when nobody could play him. Gets to play Detroit. Last six home games against Detroit, average 253 and 2.7. Detroit's defense is disgusting.
At quarterback, I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence. Last week, they did not need him against the Houston Texans as they wiped the floor with their running game. This week against Tennessee in a must-win game, the Titans are allowing the most passing yards per game. They're 28th in schedule-adjusted fantasy points to quarterbacks. And, oh, last time these two teams played, Trevor Lawrence was the quarterback one. He had 368 passing yards and four total touchdowns. I want pieces of the passing game in this game.
Now, I want it to be very clear. My Week 18 starts of the week are for those you can, maybe you're looking at situations where your players are on teams that are going to rest. They're going to be inactive.
I want to be very, very clear.
Very, very clear about that because – my quarterback start of the week, if you are desperate, I think that you can play Andy Dalton against the Carolina Panthers. You're going to need some sort of metallic underpants on.
You've done – this is not your – I want you to know this. This is a self-inventory time. This is not the first time Andy Dalton's name has come out of your mouth.
That is true. That is true, and it did not work last time.
I think you're into him.
I'm into him this week. The Carolina Panthers, the past 2 weeks – 30th and 30th against quarterbacks and schedule adjusted. The Carolina Panthers are 25th on the season. Andy Dalton, he's been a top eight quarterback twice. That is two times more than Andy's start of the week, Mr. Aaron Rodgers. Andy Dalton
Touché.
Can get it done this week against the Carolina Panthers.
Also, did you hear that, Aaron? That's a good point, Mike. We're turning to running backs?
Yep.
Another Aaron. I'm looking for another Aaron. It's Aaron Jones against Detroit. It's all on the line. Last year, he blew up for three touchdowns against the Lions. And Lambeau was the number one quarterback on the week. And Detroit's rush defense, which had been just shut down, has been gouged recently. Deonta Foreman, Chuba Hubbard, Justin Fields in the last couple of weeks. You know Aaron Jones. He's an all-or-nothing guy, but they're fighting for their playoff lives. They have been so impressive through four quarters, really, lately. You know, there was no comeback for Minnesota last week. They just got shellacked by the Packers. And it's, you know, I want the Lions to make the playoffs because I want to see something new happen. I'm excited for that roster. But if you ask me who's going to win the game, it's Green Bay.
Yeah, I know. That's how I think everybody feels. Everyone, you know, unless you've got a vested interest in those two teams, everyone wants the Lions to win. And everyone's like, yeah, probably not going to happen. But go Lions. My running back start of the week is Jerick McKinnon going to Las Vegas to play the Raiders. He is on fire, five straight games with a receiving touchdown. He's the running back two since week 13.
He's
just been absolutely unstoppable. And the Raiders ranked 27th at schedule adjusted fantasy points to the running back. Most importantly, they've allowed the most running back receiving yards in the NFL. That is what Jerick McKinnon do.
Are you making a six straight week guarantee?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Six straight week guarantee.
This is what Clyde Edwards-Helaire was supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so frustrating.
He was not ever fast enough.
That's just what he was supposed to be. This is what the Kansas City Chiefs wanted him to be.
That's fair. That's why they drafted him in the first round.
As we heard straight from the man's mouth. Your boy strong.
Yes, Jerick McKinnon?
Yes.
He is.
Good for him, by the way. A lot of recovery in his career.
Absolutely. All right. Nasty running back start of the week. It is Zach Moss. It is the best possible matchup for a running back against the Houston Texans. They rank dead last in schedule-adjusted fantasy points by a mile. The Texans are allowing opponents the highest percentage of 10-plus yard gains over the last decade. Jeff's like, you want to talk about motivation of – should the Colts win? Should they lose? Jeff Saturday. A lot of things have been said by me about Jeff Saturday. He is going to want to win that game. He is not going to look at the long-term draft pick for the Colts. He's going to want another win on his resume as he tries to convince the Colts that he should be the permanent coach next year. So I think that Zach Moss is going to get the ball a lot, and he will succeed.
And my wide receiver, it's Garrett Wilson against Miami. In four Mike White games, averaging 10-plus targets. Last week was a huge disappointment. But they put up 40 against Miami earlier in the year. He's in a tight race for the Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think you feed Garrett Wilson this week if you're the Jets. Get him moving in a positive way towards 2023.
Yeah, and I am going with another Packers. So this is three of them here, but it really correlates with Andy's man. Aaron Rodgers, because Detroit's rush defense has been great other than the super cold weather game against Carolina, so maybe that will be a factor here. But Christian Watson has been great. He practiced on Wednesday. He should be back to a full allotment of snaps. If he was on my roster, I would absolutely be starting him since week 10. He's targeted on 25.7% of his routes. That's 10th among wide receivers. That's better than Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen, or A.J. Brown. And the Lions, they're allowing the highest rate of 15-plus passing yards in the NFL. This matchup seems like a good one for Watson to get a touchdown.
My wide receiver start of the week, I'm going with a stack for Mr. Andy Dalton. If he's going to succeed, someone on that team on the wide receiver corps will succeed. Why not check out Rashid Shaheed? Since week 12, he is averaging almost 70 yards a game. Mike Evans, there was a reason that Mike Evans was the start of the week last week, because the Carolina Panthers are just bad against the pass. Rashid Shaheed averaging over 18 yards per reception since week 10. He's averaging the same yards per route run as Tyreek Hill. And again, Carolina ranks 27th in pass DVOA. According to Football Outsiders, they can be beat deep, and that is Rashid Shaheed's specialty.
Oh!
Going with Darren Waller in the final week of the season against Kansas City, the highest over, under, of, or I'm sorry, the highest total of the week. Seen 7-plus targets in each of his last five games against the Chiefs. Looked really good last week. Looked like the same Darren Waller. Like, he took a lot of time to come back, but he looked like his old self. Had that rapport with Jarrett Stidham, you know, my future dynasty superstar.
Of course.
And
superstar.
They did say superstar.
Accurately, yeah. You did.
Yeah, I mean, a stupid star on my team.
Superstar.
Over the last month, Kansas City's 29th in schedule-adjusted fantasy points to tight ends.
Yeah, I really like that. I want pieces in that matchup. I'm going to go with Tyler Higbee at Seattle. He's been boom or bust lately.
Nasty.
But we know this. Seattle ranks dead last in schedule-adjusted fantasy points to tight ends. It's a matchup you want to target. I want a tight end that can command targets. And since Baker Mayfield became the quarterback, he leads the team with a 23% target share. He can also earn an additional $125,000.
Ooh, like that.
If he surpasses 600 receiving yards, which he should do in this game.
And you want some targets? Tyler Conklin. Conk, conk, baby.
Conk, conk.
The Dolphins have become the second best tight end matchup, and Conk gets targets when Mike White is the quarterback. We're talking 25 targets over the last month for Tyler Conklin. When they were from Zach Wilson, they weren't so great, but from when they're from Mike White, 6 for 80 last week. He gets it done. He is kind of that number two option right now for the Jets.
It's time. The epic conclusion.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Prepare. Yes.
Prepare your ears or cover them. I'm not
hearts.
Sure which one, but it's time.
Jason Moore's ironclad, locked and loaded, 100% guaranteed boom boom kicker of the week.
Last week on Boom Boom Kicker, we referenced Sean Bradley and we rode off in victory, me, Andy, and Mike together. Three buddies valiantly forged together, but stories can change just like the weather. Three's a company, I heard someone once said, but this trio became a duo once somebody bled. For Andy was stabbed by the blade of Mike. Treason and tragedy were felt alike, but Mike is not the hero of this diddy-do. He fell victim of a fatal Chipotle poo. So long, Tucker, Gould and Butker, too. Good riddance, McPherson, and Young Wei Koo. For I'm the Boom Boom, the true marvel of the show. Kickers are hot farts, and you should let those bad boys go.
So you're the Boom Boom
I'm
kicker.
I'm the Boom Boom kicker this week.
That was...
Put me in your lineup.
That was outstanding.
That was sensational.
That was... It really brought it all home.
We tell a story, and I think we might need to change up the style next year. So stay tuned.
Okay, I'm into that. You can catch up. By the way, shout out to whoever built BoomBoomKicker.com, because you have the whole story line on BoomBoomKicker.com. I don't know what's the worst situation, falling victim to Mike's treacherous knife or the way that Mike went down.
Oh, Mike got it worse for sure. I mean, being stabbed in the back, look, pretty bad, but.
I want to go how I live, fellas.
Well, no. Yeah, that's how, yeah, okay.
Hey, on the toilet.
Speaking of week 18.
Well, that is going to do it for today's episode of the show. Thank you for joining us. I will say this, tomorrow, I will not be shamed. So that will take place tomorrow. One of these two gentlemen near me.
I will not be
shamed. That's the lights. Look, I could care less to be shamed because I am the League of Record champion.
I would be careful what you say.
Oh, no. Oh, I know. This, you guys are going to give it to me so hardcore tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, you've done well avoiding it for most of the year. So yeah. That is on tomorrow's episode, the rest of the matchups.
Don't miss it.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
You need to let me know what's going on in here. So
now I'm afraid.
I feel like I'm missing something. So, all right, thank you for joining us. YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballers if you want to tune in.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.